Exposing free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Thursday, September the 26th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host, and we have newly unclassified the statement, the complaint by the whistleblower. And this is bombshell stuff. This doesn't look good for their side, quite frankly, just like it didn't look good for their side when President Trump released the transcript of the call. And I think this is going to blow back on them in a big way. So today we're going to take a look at this statement in detail. And the person's name is not on here, I believe. I just got this. So this is kind of going to be a cold reading like it was yesterday. But it's interesting because when I look at the comments that people had yesterday about the phone call itself, the transcript itself, what I picked up just grabbing it here on air and reading it live on air, the thing that stuck out to me was pretty much what stuck out to other people. Hey, look, President Trump is still looking at CrowdStrike. He's still looking at this server because that has been the core of all of this. And that may be one of the reasons why these people in the intelligence agencies are so desperate to come after Trump, because he may be coming after them. I would imagine that he would. I mean, what has taken so long, quite frankly? And perhaps one of the reasons that it's taken so long is I would imagine that, you know, he would like to wait until he saw the whites of Joe Biden's eyes in the debate. Let him get the nomination, and then let's let him have it with both barrels, both the Ukrainian and the China barrels. But the Democrats don't want to see that happen, because clueless Joe has got his hands in a lot of dirty stuff. And so we're going to take a look at how this is boomeranging on the Democrats. We're going to take a look at all the swamp gas comments. And then we're also going to take a look at what actually really is there. So we're going to get real about this as well. It's amazing to me when I look at this, how they always project their crimes, their perversions onto other people. I mean, just take a look at what they, the very beginning of this, the dirty dossier. Now, that just reeks of something that the Clintons would write with help from Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein, doesn't it? I mean, this is the way these people operate. And of course, the CIA, Mossad, all these different intelligence agencies that were running Jeffrey Epstein, they were all about filthy perversions that they could use to blackmail people. And so then they project that they write up this document about Donald Trump, total piece of fiction, filthy fiction. And then they shop it around, and they start to create an echo chamber. And, you know, they send it to their partners in the UK, and they bounce it back and forth, and then they leak it to a reporter. The reporter takes it. Then they go to the FISA court, and they say, look, this is something came from the UK, and it's been reported on by the New York Times and Washington Post, and, you know, they got that news guard check. Yeah, they're out. Everything they say, you can believe, right? And it was given to them by sources and so forth. And so the FISA judge says, oh, okay, well, it's fine. So they ramped this up. They're doing the same thing here now. And I find it amazing, amazing how they are also the people who engineered the coup in the Ukraine. It was the Democrats, people associated with Obama and Hillary Clinton. They were the ones who did this Ukraine coup, and now they're trying, have been trying for the last couple of years to do a coup against our election here in the United States, a coup against President Trump. And isn't it amazing that they even bring in Ukraine into all of this and have them partner in all of this? So we're going to take a look at the swamp gas, the boomeranging, and we're going to really get real about this. But we're going to begin with this newly released report. We're going to take this thing apart when we come back. Stay with us. Be right back.
Deceit. telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Thursday, September 26th, year of our Lord, 2019. We have newly released complaint of the quote-unquote whistleblower. I think this whistleblower needs to be charged with yelling fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. You know, you're allowed to do that if there really is a fire, but it's something of a crime if you're doing this as a false alarm or maybe as a false flag. So we're going to take a look at this newly declassified complaint that was sent to Richard Burr and to Adam Schiff, the heads of the intelligence committees, respectively, in the Senate and the House of Representatives. So this has now been declassified. This just arrived on my desk this morning. There was talk about it from people who had seen the report on the Hill, congressmen and senators who had seen it, characterizing it. But now we have the actual report itself. And so there's a couple of takeaways before we get into this. I just want to remind you, here's what we know. We know that, and we know this from a Ukrainian whistleblower that I interviewed, and I can't remember, it was like 2 years ago, I think. It's been some time. The Democrats and the DNC were conspiring with the Ukrainian government during the 2016 election against President Trump. The guy that I talked to, who was a Ukrainian whistleblower, a real whistleblower, said that he saw people like Alexandria Chalupa and others from the Democrat Party go to the Ukraine and talk about how they could set up President Trump. He is now in hiding for his life. And that is actually referred to in this whistleblower complaint. The Democrats, we know, because we've gone through this now for 2+ years, we know now that the Democrats were conspiring with U.S. intelligence personnel, with the FBI, with the Department of Justice against President Trump during the election and after the election to overthrow our election. So we know that they were conspiring with people in the Ukraine, previous government. We know that they had enacted the coup to put those people in power in Ukraine, and they were calling in their chips. And we know that they were working with all these people in the intelligence community and so-called law enforcement here in the United States to overthrow our elections. We know that President Trump wants information about people in the U.S. intelligence community that set him up. And that was one of the first things, again, it came across my desk during the program yesterday, cold reading. The first thing that jumped out at me, well, actually, the first thing was that the Ukrainian president, as President Trump was calling to congratulate him on the election, the Ukrainian president said, well, we got a lot of corruption over here and we want to drain the swamp. We've learned a lot from you. And we got to pay attention to this corruption here. So it was the Ukrainian president who was talking about getting rid of corruption and draining the swamp. And then President Trump said, what do you know about CrowdStrike and can you get that server and so forth? And it's like, okay, President Trump is still looking at these crooks in the intelligence community. And I'm telling you, that's what they're concerned about. And that's one of the reasons why they're doing this. I still believe that this is also an effort by the DNC to get rid of Biden. But I think they're also trying to cover their own tracks, because they're very worried that President Trump is going to get this information about how the DNC, Alexandria Chalupa, and others are working with the corrupt U.S. officials in the intelligence community, the FBI, the Department of Justice to rig our election. They're very concerned about that, the CrowdStrike, the server stuff. Just remember also that the president can be impeached, as we look at all of the articles saying they've got enough people to impeach the president. Remember, it's crimes, high crimes, and even misdemeanors. That's what's in the Constitution. You can impeach the president for getting a speeding ticket if you wanted to. I mean, if you want to be that partisan about it, Nancy Pelosi and the Sisterhood of Traveling Burkas could impeach President Trump for a speeding ticket. Maybe that's the reason why presidents don't drive, right? You know, they're not allowed to drive for 6 months after leaving office even. I don't know. But anyway, that would be a good thing for him to avoid doing is driving, because if he gets a speeding ticket, that's it. He's done with the Democrats in power. Also, what we do know is that there was nothing in the call transcript that would implicate President Trump in anything that was wrong. We'll talk about that as we look at the swamp gas coming out of the D.C. Briar Patch. And we'll look at the comments from the people, and it's pretty partisan. But you and I have been able to read that, and there is absolutely nothing there. I'm really not surprised to see people like Ben Sasse and Mitt Romney, never Trumpers, always out there. They're just as much against President Trump, if not more so, than Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. So I'm not surprised to see them complaining about this. I am surprised to see what Judge Andrew Napolitano has become. Very disappointed. He used to be a very strong libertarian. He got his program basically kicked off the air, so he just has some occasional stuff there. And he should have started his own news organization when they did that to him. Alex even said that, you know, don't let them, you know, shove you in the background, just keep you on a paycheck. He should have done that. But instead, he's become more and more an apologist and allied with the other never-Trumpers at Fox News like Shepard Smith. And I've got a lot of disagreements with President Trump, and I don't hesitate talking about them here when it comes to policy. But all of this stuff about attacking him personally, about trying to impeach him on this stuff, there is absolutely nothing here to do that. And the honest people like Tulsi Gabbard are saying that. And kudos to her. I mean, she takes on President Trump, and rightfully so, about following the military-industrial complex and trying to escalate a war with Iran. She takes him on when he follows their lead and does what they say and stays in Afghanistan and so forth, instead of doing what he knows is right and what he campaigned for and what we voted for. And she's right to attack him on those issues, and I will continue to attack him on those issues. I'll attack him for trying to suck up to the intelligence community by putting Gina Haspel in charge of the CIA, the woman who deleted all the videotapes of the CIA torture and embraced all of that. But again, you know, that was something that President Trump, I think he's wrong about it, but he did say before the election that he thinks that torture is a good thing. So that may not just be President Trump sucking up to the intelligence community, trying to make a truce with them. I think he's wrong on that issue, but he is consistent on what he's doing with that, both before and after the election. But Tulsi Gabbard has not joined into this kind of nonsense criticism. She says there's nothing there. And if you escalate the partisan politics to this level, it's going to be a very bad thing for this country. She is absolutely right. So what did we see in this? You know, besides seeing the call transcript, the very fact that Trump obviously doesn't think that he did anything wrong, whether he did technically or not, I don't think he did either, looking at that. And we've got legal analysts who are calling out Judge Napolitano on that. I didn't understand what Judge Napolitano was talking about. It's like, there's nothing here, nothing here. Again, I think it's just partisan politics. President Trump doesn't think that he did anything wrong. I don't think that he did anything wrong. And if he had done anything wrong and had a guilty conscience about it, he would have stonewalled. And he didn't. He immediately declassified this stuff when it became an issue. This is not what Richard Nixon did. We did not eventually get a transcript with a missing 18 minutes where, you know, Rosemary Woods deletes the information from the Nixon transcripts. That didn't happen here. Not at all. So, you know, when we look at this and President Trump, it begins with the Ukrainian president saying we've got to drain the swamp or talking about corruption. He was the one who brought up corruption. Then Trump says, yeah, you're right. You know, you had a prosecutor who got fired. Biden was bragging about how he got him fired. And that's on videotape. So he says, yeah, we need to, you know, do something about that. You know, here's the issue, folks. It's just bring me the president and I'll find the crime. That's the way the Democrats are operating. They're Stalinist. They're authoritarian. This doesn't have anything to do with policy. All these people, these Democrats, saying, well, I was bound to do that because of my oath to the Constitution. You have violated your oath to the Constitution continuously since you become a part of Congress because you have completely authorized a repeal of all of our freedoms and continued on with these concurrent systems, as everybody has in both the Republican and Democrat Party. We'll talk about this release report when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back as we listen to the theme song of the intelligence community, the Department of Justice, and the FBI. They can read your mind. They're the eye in the sky. They can lie to you. They can cheat you blind. And folks, we have been lied to. We now have the unclassified whistleblower complaint, quote unquote. Dear Chairman Burr and Chairman Schiff, I am reporting an urgent concern. Okay, so what is so urgent about this? It begins by saying, I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. Stop right there. This is nothing but hearsay gossip being pushed around. Where did this guy get the information from? Did he get it from the New York Post? Did he get it from the New York Times, the Washington Post? You know, those people, they got check marks. You can believe everything that you hear from them. Just remember how these guys got the FISA warrant in the first place. The circular chain of events, this echo chamber between London and Langley, and then leaks to newspapers. And then they'd say, oh, well, look, this is reported by the Washington Post, New York Times. Well, you know, I wasn't a direct witness to most of these events. However, these colleagues, I find them to be credible sources and so forth. Come on. All right, but let's go ahead and look at the rest of this. Let me tell you the other thing. I talked about, you know, what we know. Here's another thing that we know about this. Democrats can't commit crimes. That's the first rule of Washington. Democrats cannot commit crimes. It's like the rule that they tell us that only white people can be racist, right? So, you know, no matter how racist you are, Louis Farrakhan, he cannot be racist because he's not white. And that's the ultimate privilege, isn't it? To have immunity from any of these types of things. So Democrats cannot commit crimes. The only real crime is investigating a Democrat. You understand? Democrats, just keep this in mind when you look at the impeachment. This is what it's about. Democrats, like Biden, cannot commit crimes. It doesn't matter if he's bragging about it like a supervillain monologuing at the end of a movie to his pals at the Council on Foreign Relations and it gets caught on videotape. That doesn't matter. He cannot commit a crime. It's just that simple. And if you investigate Joe Biden after he brags about the crime that he committed, which is basically what they're trying to project on President Trump, they're trying to say that President Trump did what Biden admitted that he did. Now, President Trump has been very forthcoming. He released the call transcript yesterday. Now we have the declassified report, whistleblower complaint, if you want to put it that way. So there's nothing to hide here. There is nothing to hide here. This is going to boomerang back on these people big time. Already has. Already President Trump has raised, as of last night, he had raised $5 million. Because we are sick of this. Absolutely sick of this. And I got to imagine the Democrats are out there saying, wait a minute, where's my free stuff? You guys promised me free stuff when I voted for you. And all you've done is this kind of partisan hack jobs out there. I want my free college education. I want completely open borders. I want free health care for foreigners. I want all this. You guys promised all this stuff. You haven't delivered anything because you're so busy running these fantasy football games in Washington, D.C. So they got to be upset as well. And so, yeah, I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. Put that in quotes. Put that at the top of the article that anybody writes about this. That is the key takeaway. It is nothing but hearsay, gossip, evidence. And we know how these people lie. I mean, even Pompeo. I lie. You know, we go to the CIA. We lie. We cheat. We steal. We have classes on it. They have classes on this, folks. This is, there's nothing to see here. And it's all about this phone call. I heard yesterday, 90% of it is about the phone call. Hey, folks, it's all about the phone call. It's all about this stuff. Let's go through it. So, item number one, the 25th of July presidential phone call. Now, this is part of his complaint. And so, we read the transcript of that yesterday. We already know what was in that phone call. This was a brief congratulatory call after Mr. Zelensky won the presidency on the 21st of April. And, of course, one of the first things he says is, we got to drain the swamp. And then President Trump says, yeah, we do too. What about CrowdStrike? What about that private company that just told the FBI these are not the servers you're looking for. Go away. And they went away. It's like, seriously? We need to investigate that more. And I heard that you guys have got the actual server, the information. Yeah, President Trump should ask the NSA. They've got that information. William Binney, who is a global technical head for the NSA for decades, said they've got all of that information. So just get it from them. They've got all that stuff on file. As Snowden was saying, you know, everything is a permanent record. You know, the philosophy of the NSA was we're not going to keep anything that we're not going to eventually use. But we don't know when we're going to eventually use it. So we've got to keep everything. And that's why they build a giant data center out in Bluffdale, Utah, and so forth. So they've got the information. Anyway, going on with this, he said there was a specific request that the Ukrainian leader locate and turn over the servers used by the DNC that were examined by the U.S. cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike. Notice that this whistleblower doesn't say that were examined by the private contractor to the DNC, CrowdStrike. They worked for the DNC. They were not a mutual third or an independent third party. They worked for the DNC, CrowdStrike did. So they were the ones who had reported that it was Russian hackers. In spite of what WikiLeaks, who always tells us, see, here's the thing. The CIA, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they have classes on it. WikiLeaks, they tell you the truth about how these people lie, they steal, they have classes on it, and how they have Vault 7 and other things to make it look like it's other people. They tell you the truth. And what Julian Assange and WikiLeaks told us was that it was not hacked, that it was handed over. Several individuals said that. And William Binney verified that from a technical standpoint. So it would be good to expose this. President Trump knows it, as I said that yesterday. Number two, efforts to restrict access to records related to the call. I'm not going to go through and rehash what he says about the call because there really isn't anything here. And we've already talked. We've already looked at the transcript of the call yesterday. And there isn't anything there. I mean, the issues are that other than congratulatory stuff and other than the Ukrainian president bringing up the problems that they have with corruption, the rest of it is, and how they want to drain the swamp in their country, the rest of it is, oh, yeah, CrowdStrike, the server. And then I hear Biden bragging about how he got this prosecutor fired. Aren't you interested in looking in that? We can help you with that. We need to look at that together. You know, President Trump has a duty to get rid of corruption. And I think the biggest criticism that ought to be brought against President Trump and the Justice Department is the fact that they didn't do this a long time ago. Because the president and the Department of Justice and Giuliani, anybody that's involved in this, you don't hold this stuff back for political advantage. You come after them right away because that's what the American people need. That's what this system of justice, if we're going to have it, needs. We need to lock these people up, not use it for political advantage. That's the only criticism that I have about this. But we'll look at the rest of this report, because then it starts to get a little bit more interesting as he kind of contradicts himself.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, and we are analyzing the the last move of the globalists right now, because we've now had declassified this whistleblower complaint. Now, it was given to many on Capitol Hill yesterday. The letter was originally addressed to Adam Schiff in the House, head of the Intelligence Committee there, and to Richard Burr in the Senate, head of the Intelligence Committee there. And Adam Schiff came out, and this has become the echoed phrase, deeply disturbing. And they're all saying deeply disturbing. All the headlines are saying deeply disturbing. And so we've been looking at this deeply disturbing thing because it's now, this morning, been declassified by President Trump. Isn't that interesting? If it's deeply disturbing, if it is a smoking gun, why isn't President Trump stonewalling on this like Richard Nixon? Why don't we have large chunks of this missing? Well, because that's the game that Trump's enemies want to play. As a matter of fact, when we look at not just the Democrats, but we look at Ben Sasse, who, like Mitt Romney, one of the never-Trumpers inside the Republican Party, will accuse him of anything and everything just to get him out. Meanwhile, they don't pay any attention to what they ran on. They don't try to do anything to pull back government intrusion into our lives, usurpation of the federal judiciary, none of that stuff. They don't care about the Constitution, none of that stuff. They just got to get President Trump out. It's just this little political game. You're not with me, or, you know, I can get power, more power by getting you out of power, that type of thing. And so Ben Sasse is out there saying, well, you know what? I want to see. This is really, really bad, says Ben Sasse. And it's like, well, I don't know what documents you're reading, Ben, but the president has let us see transcript of the phone call and now the complaint from the whistleblower. So I don't know what Ben Sasse is looking at that he says is really, really bad. He says, I want any and all relevant information. He tells National Review, that's not to deny that certain pieces of this are probably susceptible to a claim of executive privilege. Well, the president's not making that claim. The president's putting all this stuff out. Look, there's nothing here. And Ben Sasse is like, well, I think he's covering this stuff up. No, I think, Ben, you're covering up your political ambition. That's the only thing that's hidden to some people here is the political ambition of people like Ben Sasse and Mitt Romney. All the Democrats are calling this deeply disturbing, echoing what Adam Schiff had to say. Majority of House members now want some type of impeachment action. We hear from Noah Feldman, who is a guy who writes an op-ed piece for Bloomberg. Listen to the way this guy operates. He says, well, proposing a quid pro quo in which U.S. aid for Ukraine would be reinstated in exchange for an investigation into the Mueller investigation and into Biden. I'm sorry, that wasn't in the phone call, first of all. And where is the criticism of Joe Biden bragging about his quid pro quo? What does that mean? It means a favor for a favor, this for that. Not there. Not there. And he even says that. He even says that in his article. So that was in the beginning. That's in the second paragraph. President Trump proposing a quid pro quo, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, this is toward the end. This is the very last, not toward the end, it is the final conclusion of this same guy who says, well, President Trump has got a quid pro quo here. He says, well, in the absence of an explicit quid pro quo, oh, wait a minute, I thought you just said at the beginning of the article there was a quid pro quo, and it's very clear we've got to impeach this guy, right? Who is Noah Feldman? Well, Noah Feldman is this privileged establishment character. He went to Harvard, he went to Yale, he got a PhD at Oxford in Islamic thought. He's a Council on Foreign Relations member. Maybe he was there when Joe Biden was bragging about how he had done a quid pro quo and videotaping it. No problem, no foul. Never mentions the crimes of Joe Biden here. He's also with Google's political think tank. Yeah, Google has a political think tank. It's called New America. This guy, Noah Feldman, just to give you an idea of his bias, he was a featured speaker, this guy with a PhD in Islamic thought. He was a featured speaker alongside noted Islamic authority Hamza Yusuf. They did a lecture called Islam and Democracy. Is a clash of civilizations inevitable? Oh, no, we can just merge the two, right? He's been attacked for promoting Islamic law as a swell basis for the political order. He's also been accused of shilling for soft theocracy. Because that's exactly what Islamic merger looks like. And it won't be soft for very long. It will be a theocracy. So this guy who, we know where he's coming from politically, writing the op-ed pieces for Bloomberg. And this guy who begins by saying, well, President Trump has a quid pro quo here. And then the final statement, in the absence of an explicit quid pro quo over restarting aid, the context and the circumstances are what will become the focus of the investigation. So they don't have an explicit quid pro quo, like they do with Joe Biden on tape, but they will try to create it out of context. Yeah, that's where this is all headed. So let's take a look. Let's get back to the rest of this report. And let me give you the overall view of this. Okay, this is broken down into three sections. All right, section number one is the phone call. Section number two is efforts to restrict access to the records to the phone call. I didn't think that happened, did it? section three is ongoing concerns. And then section four is circumstances leading up to the phone call. So you get the idea that it's all about the phone call. So it's about the phone call, efforts to restrict the phone call, things that led up to the phone call, and ongoing concerns. And remember that he begins by saying, I didn't personally witness any of this stuff. Where are the radical left law professors from Harvard and Yale? Where are they on this? I mean, even I know that this is just hearsay evidence. This is absolute total garbage. But let's read it. Because that's what we're doing. Everybody wants to know what's in this. And I wanted to know what was in it, too. So I'll tell you about the garbage. So we've already talked about the phone call. We talked about the phone call yesterday when we talked about what he had to say about the phone call. And there really wasn't anything there. But efforts to restrict access to the records related to the call. Well, since President Trump immediately released it, I think we can just kind of wipe that accusation right off the map. Oh, you think there's something wrong with it? Well, here it is. There isn't anything wrong with it. You can see for yourself. Then we go to number three, ongoing concerns. And so the whistleblower complaint says on 26 July, day after the phone call, the U.S. Special Representative for the Ukraine negotiations, Kurt Volker, visited Kyiv and met with President Zelensky and a variety of Ukrainian political figures. And they talked reportedly, because this is, again, he wasn't there. He didn't see any of this stuff, but he's got some scuttlebutt that he picked up at the water cooler at the CIA or wherever, right? Well, you know what happened over there? Well, I heard that this happened. And then, okay, so he heard that they were talking about how to, quote unquote, navigate the demands that the president had made of Mr. Zelensky. Oh, how do we navigate this? I also learned from multiple U.S. officials that on or about the 2nd of August, Mr. Giuliani reportedly traveled to Madrid to meet with one of President Zelensky's advisors, Andrei Yermak. All right. And so, you know, he said, oh, well, look at this. You know, they actually had discussions about some of the stuff that was talked about after that phone call. Well, again, you can see what was talked about in the phone call. Does the Ukrainian president have an interest, a duty, a responsibility, and the authority to investigate and shut down corruption in his country? Yes. Does the president of the United States have an interest, an obligation, a duty, a responsibility, the authority to investigate corruption in the United States? Yes, he does. And my biggest concern, as I said before, is the fact that President Trump hasn't done enough of this. And so, again, remember, the crime, Democrats cannot commit crime. The only real crime is to investigate Democrats who commit crimes. Number four, the circumstances leading up to the 25th July presidential phone call. And this is where I think his story really falls apart. His own complaint deconstructs his story. And we're out of time. We've got to take a break. I'm going to get to this as soon as we get back for the break. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You know, we've got, as I quoted that liberal scholar who wrote an op-ed piece for Bloomberg, Noah Feldman, put scholar in air quotes there, as he was saying, well, you know, we got Trump with a quid pro quo, and then that's the beginning, first paragraph there. Then if you actually read his article, the final statement he makes in the absence of an explicit quid pro quo. So which is it, Noah Feldman? We have MSN telling us Trump's actions with Ukraine epitomize the framers' idea of an impeachable offense, scholars say. Well, what scholars would that be? Well, that's people like Cass Sunstein, the Harvard Law professor. Cass Sunstein, the guy who wrote the book called Nudge. How do you form public opinion? You nudge it, right? You keep gradually propagandizing people. And if you've got all the mainstream media telling everybody a lie, the gross a lie, right? As the Nazi propagandist said, Goebbels said, you know, got to tell a big lie and keep repeating it and have everybody repeat it. Then you can nudge people like Cass Sunstein says, or you can have the Microsoft headline, you know, MSN. They've got the NewsGuard checkmark. Yeah, absolutely. You can believe everything that MSN says. Yeah, LA Times, too. And Cass Sunstein, he's not just propagandizing. You know, these people are legal scholars, and they know. They know. And so when Noah Feldman says, in the absence of an explicit quid pro quo, the context and the circumstances are what will become the focus of the investigation. In other words, we're going to take these circumstances. Oh, he called a foreign president. That looks to me like foreign collusion, not just conversation. And we have a context here, and we're going to take this stuff out of the context, and we're going to spin it, we're going to nudge it in one direction or the other. Video 11, Maxine Waters is telling us what is about to come, because, you know, we got to delve into absent an explicit problem. We got to manufacture one by dabbing into the circumstances and the context. There's Maxine Waters.
Is it that for real? Is it true that now that there's an official impeachment inquiry that the courts will fast track it? Or are you just hoping that that's what will happen?
Well, I don't know. Of course, certainly I cannot speak for the courts. The courts have their own way of doing things, and I cannot speak for them. But there's lots more coming from all six of our committees, whether it is the Intelligence Committee or the Foreign Affairs Committee or the Ways and Means Committee. This president has clearly defined himself in so many ways, disrespected the Constitution of the United States, embraced Putin. 17 of our intelligence agencies told us that they absolutely discovered that this president was involved with and knew about what was going on with Putin.
Well,
more than that,
I mean, but as you know, Mueller, that nothing came.
He knew what was going on about Putin.
The Mueller report, I think it's fair to say, did not deliver what Democrats were hoping for. And so I think that you...
Well, yes, no, that is not true. That is not true. Don't forget, there was ample information there for obstruction of justice. Ample information. If you're referring to the collusion part of it, it was not as strong, but there's still a lot more to come about collusion. Yes.
Well, meaning what? About Russia or about Ukraine?
Both, because when you talk about Russia, you have to bring in Ukraine. But don't forget, Manafort had a contract with and worked with the Ukraine. And so there's a lot there with both of those. But when you talk about what Mueller did, certainly that report was not conclusive about collusion, but it gave us ample information about obstruction of justice, referring back to Comey and some of the other things that the president has done that certainly is obstruction of justice.
Well, that's CNN, and she's sitting there with the cream pie on her face from the Mueller report, and Maxine Waters is saying, oh, no, we got exactly what we wanted from that. I don't think CNN got what they wanted from that. I mean, their ratings have plummeted. Rachel Maddow and MSNBC, their ratings have plummeted as well. Did they really get what they wanted out of this stuff? That's nothing there but a pie in the face for these people. She was looking pretty sour about that. You got to see that clip. That's something else. But anyway, we're talking about this big, deeply disturbing, really, really bad report. And first of all, talks about the phone call. President Trump said, well, I hear that Biden's kind of a corrupt SOB. He's bragging about it at the CFR. And then he says, and then the president tried to cover up the phone call. It's like, no, actually... By releasing the phone call, President Trump took out number one and number two on this complaint. The complaint, by the way, it's all hearsay. This guy didn't witness any of this stuff. And then number three was, and then these people talked after that, and they met after that to talk about what they could do about corruption in their two countries. Can you imagine that? I mean, again, this is, we're not supposed to get rid of corruption, says the intelligence community of the United States. I mean, they worked pretty hard to put that corruption in place, and they don't want to see it taken out in either country, not in the Ukraine or not in the United States. Now we get to number four. Circumstances, this is a complaint. The final thing here. Circumstances leading up to the July 25th presidential phone call. And I think this completely destroys this hearsay evidence report. I'm surprised why this guy put this in here. Beginning in late March of 2019, and again, that's 4 months before the call, A series of articles appeared in an online publication called The Hill. Maybe you have heard of that. Oh, yes, we've heard of that. In these articles, several Ukrainian officials, most notably the prosecutor who was dismissed after Biden said, fire this guy or you're not going to get $1 billion. And he was fired within 6 hours. Even before I left, they fired that guy. So his name is Lutsenko, the prosecutor. And so this whistleblower report says this prosecutor, Lutsenko, made a series of allegations against other Ukrainian officials and current and former U.S. officials. Now, this is something that was publicized in The Hill 4 months before the phone call. Think about that. And then it goes on to say, they said that they possessed evidence that Ukrainian officials, namely the head of the National Anti-Corruption Bureau of the Ukraine, had interfered in the 2016 U.S. presidential election, allegedly in collaboration with the DNC and the U.S. Embassy there. Folks, that's exactly what I told you with the interview that I did with the Ukrainian whistleblower, I think 2 years ago. And he had to flee the country for his life. And so then you have the prosecutor telling that to The Hill. And they published it on The Hill, saying that it was the DNC. And we got names, Alexandria Chalupa, who are working with Ukrainian officials to interfere in the American election. Democrats working with Ukrainian officials to have foreign intervention in our election. To manufacture evidence, to try to find evidence. And also that the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, specifically U.S. Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, had allegedly obstructed Ukrainian law enforcement agencies' pursuit of corruption charges, including providing a, quote, do not prosecute list, and had blocked Ukrainian prosecutors from traveling to the United States expressly to prevent them from delivering their evidence about 2016 U.S. election interference. Now, think about this. This is something that 4 months earlier, this is not President Trump saying, I want you to manufacture some evidence on Biden and I'm going to pay you for it. This is something that was openly talked about by The Hill 4 months before, here on InfoWars, 2 years before. Come on. We knew about this. There's nothing new about this. Folks, we got to take a quick break here. So I'll have the rest of this when we come back. But it's very clear, even in this whistleblower's report, that this stuff was widely known, widely talked about, even by Biden himself. Why wouldn't the president ask about this kind of corruption? And even this guy who wants to come after the president says, well, in the absence of an explicit quid pro quo, we're going to have to manufacture one, which is exactly what the people like Maxine Waters wants to do. All right. If you want to keep us here on the air, if you want to get this information well in advance, even The Hill, folks, we need your support. Quite frankly, you look at the way that we've been attacked by the largest corporations the world has ever seen, and all of them, all at once, taking out InfoWars on social media. And then, within this last week or so, we've had directed denial-of-service attacks to try to keep people from even getting to our store. They blocked our ads a long time ago, so we couldn't serve ads about InfoWars products. They're great products. And they blocked our ads from that. They blocked us from social media. Now they're trying to block you from getting to the website. Why are they so afraid of us? You know why. You've been really good about supporting us. We have a sale right now. Our Black Friday comes early sale. We try to make it easier for you to support us. We've got great, safe, natural, effective products, and you can get them right now. 50% off all InfoWars Life products at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping, double Patriot points on all the InfoWars Life products, and up to 50% off the preparedness products. We'll be right back.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're analyzing the complaint. And it is absolutely amazing. There's nothing here, folks. And I think the best thing that President Trump could do, and we can see this, as he declassified this phone call, now he's declassified the complaint about the phone call. And I think President Trump, what he really needs to do is he needs to just start declassifying these dirty secrets and crimes of the intelligence community, the FBI, and the Department of Justice, left and right. That's really what he needs to do. These people have been gaslighting us. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they have classes on it. Come on, let's stop covering up for these people. Let's stop pretending that these people can never commit a crime. You know, that was the thing that they got really upset about President Trump, the fact that he fired Andrew McCabe. Even the people in the FBI said, he's even more corrupt than we are. He ought to go. They all agreed that he ought to go. But the swamp, the bureaucracy, the permanently entrenched bureaucracy, that is the worst thing that you could ever do. Fire one of these lifetime bureaucrats. And he was right up to retirement. I mean, this was like the typical cop buddy movie that you see. You know, we got the older cop and the younger cop, and it's like, well, I'm only 3 days from retirement. And it's like, well, you know, that guy's going to get killed right away at the beginning of the movie, right? And then the other guy's going to spend the rest of the time finding the killer. But, I mean, that's basically what Andrew McCabe was, you know, well, I've got 5 days. Oh, you fired me. You know, I've been shot in the head, so to speak, by the president. No, that was the thing that really got these people upset. It's like, no. We're supposed to collect the big pension for the rest of our lives after we play these political games. But we're looking at this complaint. And again, the very first thing is, well, I didn't actually witness any of this stuff. I'm just getting it from credible sources. And then he talks about the phone call. Oh, yeah, there was something really there with the phone call. Well, we've seen the entire phone call. No, there wasn't anything there. But then the president tried to cover up that phone call. No, he didn't. He released it yesterday. And then there was stuff around this phone call. And so what led up to it? I was just talking about that. In March, we had the letter from The Hill. We had the publication The Hill, and it was an interview with a prosecutor that Biden bragged about getting fired because this prosecutor was investigating the corruption in the company that Biden's son was making so much money out of. And so this prosecutor says, well, I have evidence that Ukrainian officials interfered in the 2016 U.S. election with the Democrats. Listen to that. The Ukrainians conspired with the Democrats to rig the election. And again, I told you way before that, Alexandria Chalupa and others, I had a whistleblower there who is now running for his life. And we have talked about how the DNC was collaborating with Ukrainian officials, and the ambassador at the time, the Democrat ambassador, Marie Yovanovitch, was a U.S. ambassador. She had a do not prosecute list that she gave to Ukrainian law enforcement. Do not prosecute these Ukrainians because they work with Democrats. See, this is another part of the problem. President Trump did not clear house, right? He didn't clean the house. He certainly didn't drain the swamp. And by leaving people like this U.S. ambassador there, do not investigate these people, just like Biden, right? Biden said, this prosecutor that's investigating my son, fire him. They did it within 6 hours. And he put it out there, said, you know, you got that $1 billion loan guarantee. You're not going to have that if you don't do it. And they did it within 6 hours, he said. And then the Obama U.S. ambassador, Marie Yovanovitch, told Ukrainian law enforcement, here is a list of people that you do not prosecute, and blocked Ukrainian prosecutors from traveling to the United States. In several public comments, Mr. Lutsenko also stated that he wished to communicate directly with Attorney General Barr on these matters. This is all being instigated by the fired prosecutor and by the newly elected Ukrainian president who wants to get rid of the corruption in their country. They're the ones who instigated this. Back in March, 4 months before the phone call. More on this when we come back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Again, we're looking at the statement that was made in March, and we're looking at the whistleblower complaint. And in it, he says, well, you know, back in March, there was this article in The Hill where they fired prosecutor that Joe Biden got fired. As a matter of fact, guys, cue up video clip number 6 where Biden brags about that. You guys got it? Let me know when you got that clip. But, you know, Biden bragged about getting this guy fired. And then in March of this year, he talks to the Hill and he says, look, you know, we had the Democrat Party, the DNC, and other Democrat officials, and the Obama ambassador to the Ukraine, all working together to try to manufacture information to take President Trump out, to lie about President Trump. And again, I've reported that many times. Alexandria Chalupa is coming from the DNC there. And so he said the Obama ambassador to Ukraine even had a do not prosecute these Ukrainian people, gave it to Ukrainian law enforcement, said stay away from them. Don't do that. And blocking them from traveling to the United States even after the election to give their evidence to the president. It kind of looks to me like this is not even being, this is not a quid pro quo by the president. This is the Ukrainians trying to get this information out there. Lutsenko, the prosecutor, in several public comments, I'm reading now from the whistleblower complaint. Lutsenko said in several public comments, he wished to communicate directly with Attorney General Barr on these matters. Again, Trump is not initiating this. There is no quid pro quo in that. This was 4 months even before the phone call. And the prosecutor saying, I really want to come here. I want to give this information to the Attorney General of the United States. He needs to know what's going on, how these Democrats colluded with foreigners, with Ukrainians, to try to rig the 2016 election. Everything that they accused President Trump of doing, they did. They did. Just like Biden actually did threaten people to shut down a corruption investigation. Oh, we're going to shut down your $1 billion. And so in this, I'm still reading from the so-called complaint on 25th of April. Again, this is a month later, a month after the prosecutor talked to the Hill. A month after that, in an interview with Fox News, President Trump called the prosecutor, Mr. Lutsenko's claims big, incredible. And he stated that the attorney general would want to see this. Ooh, that's damning, isn't it? I mean, how is this something that you complain about? You have to get yourself in the mindset of these hyper-partisan intelligence community people in order to think that that's a crime. This is all coming from the Ukraine, even in his complaint. He's saying in March, he wrote this extensive article about foreign corruption and influence in our elections and how the Democrats are trying to use that. And the corruption, the do not prosecute list and everything. And then a month later, Fox News, the president says these are big, incredible statements that were made. And I'd like to get more information about this. And then he says, on or about 29th of April, I learned from U.S. officials, see, everything is hearsay and not admissible in court. On or about 29 April, I learned from U.S. officials with direct knowledge of the situation that Ambassador Yovanovitch had been suddenly recalled to Washington. You think? Why did it take so long? That's what I want to know. Why is it a month after the prosecutor who got fired, that Biden bragged got fired, why is it that this prosecutor who says that this U.S. ambassador who worked for Obama, that is still there, had this list of people that had immunity, do not prosecute these people for corruption, and we're not going to let Ukrainian officials go to the United States and talk to the Department of Justice? Wouldn't you think that ambassador would be fired? Would you think that an intelligence community official would have a problem with a corrupt ambassador like that being fired? Why isn't that ambassador in jail? That's what I want to know. It isn't enough to fire somebody like that. They ought to be brought up for charges. And that's really the criticism I have of President Trump and his administration. They haven't done enough to prosecute this. Where are the Republicans? Everybody has seen this video of Biden. Why isn't Biden being prosecuted? Why is it that the Democrats are trying to manufacture a crime when there isn't one, projecting what Biden did onto President Trump, and Biden gets away with doing that? Oh, that's right, I forgot. Democrats cannot commit crimes. The only crime is to investigate a Democrat. Let's play that clip of Joe Biden.
I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the billion.
So Obama's involved, too.
I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
Yeah, somebody who is solid. Somebody who would listen to the U.S. ambassador with her do not prosecute list. Somebody who would keep Ukrainian officials who would blow the whistle on Ukrainian corruption from coming to the United States and telling us how the DNC had worked with these corrupt Ukrainian officials to rig the 2016 election. He got exactly what he wanted. It's a quid pro quo. And he just couldn't help, because he's a supervillain, he couldn't help himself from bragging about what he had done. Like a gangster boss. Ah, that's power there, boy. I tell you what. Going to CFR buddies and bragging about how, yeah, you know, I had this $1 billion and I just kind of dangled it out there on a stick to him. And he did what I wanted him to do. I made him an offer. He couldn't refuse. It's even better than putting a dead horse head in his bed, right? That's exactly what this is.
I think you should reconsider
what you're doing with this prosecutor here. That's exactly what it is. And so, again, the timeline in this whistleblower complaint. He's complaining that corruption is being looked at. That's his complaint. And so in his timeline, he says, well, on the Hill in March, we had that prosecutor who was fired talking about the collusion of the Democrats and the corruption and that ambassador and everything. Then a month later on Fox News, President Trump says, this is looking really bad. This is incredible. I think the attorney general should want to see this. And then 4 days later, that corrupt ambassador is pulled back. All of these things are complaints from the whistleblower. And all of these things were initiated from the Ukrainian side. Because then that was April 29th. On May 11th, according to the whistleblower complaint, Mr. Lutsenko, again, the prosecutor who Biden got fired, met for 2 hours with then-President-elect Zelensky. Ah, that's what changed, you see. We hadn't really changed the ambassador out. They hadn't changed out their president. And then once that happened, then that prosecutor got to meet for 2 hours with President-elect Zelensky. The way the Democrats, this is very, very damaging for the Democrats. Because what the Democrats are trying to do, they're trying to say, well, you know, President Trump wants to manufacture dirt on Joe Biden. No, that's not the case. You saw that. That was over a year and a half ago. So he wants to manufacture dirt. So he calls up the president. It's like, hey, yeah, congratulations on your election. Hey, you want to get something from us? Then you need to look into this for us. They had already been looking into it. And like I said yesterday, when the phone call was released first, I said, the Ukrainian president is the one saying we got to drain our swamp. And that's because 2 months earlier, he had met with that fired prosecutor for 2 hours. He knew everything that was there. He wasn't being told by President Trump, hey, you know, there's this thing. We've heard rumors. Maybe he'd seen the video clip. We've heard rumors that Biden got this guy fired. You might want to look into that. Zelensky knew all about that. He'd already met with the guy 2 months earlier. President Trump knew about all this stuff. You had Biden talking about all this stuff. And then here's some more smoking gun stuff when we come back that actually is a smoking gun pointing at the Democrats. This is a self-inflicted error. These guys are not shooting themselves in the foot. Boy, this whistleblower complaint is one of the most amazing things I have seen. It is a goldmine of hypocrisy. And as they like to say, a nothing burger. Or as we used to say in my generation, where's the beef? It's absolutely amazing. Again, you know, it begins by saying, I wasn't a direct witness to the events described here. Okay, so do I have to read this now? This is nothing but a bunch of scurrilous gossip that you'd get from the Washington Post or the New York Times or John Brennan or any of these other people, right? But then it goes on. It's got several sections, you know, the phone call itself. This phone call. It was really bad. Let me tell you how bad this phone call was. And then number two, President Trump tried to hide the phone call. Okay, well, now those two have been blown out of the water. That's half of his complaint right there, because we have seen that there's A, nothing in there, because President Trump isn't trying to hide it. He declassified the entire thing, and there's no missing 18 minutes by Rosemary Woods. And so then he goes on to say extenuating circumstances, and he gives a timeline about how this was all months in advance. This was building up from Ukraine. It was coming from Ukraine to the United States. President Trump wasn't doing anything about it. That's my big complaint. For the longest time, you know, we're pointing the finger saying, President Trump, look, Alexandria Chalupa, listen to this whistleblower from Ukraine here at InfoWars. It's like, obviously, President Trump doesn't have time to watch my program. He's watching Fox and Friends at this time in the morning. So he's getting happy news. Everything is just fine. We're eating corn dogs at the Iowa Corn Fair, you know, State Fair on Fox and Friends. Instead, we got whistleblowers from the Ukraine saying, there's massive corruption here. They were working with the DNC trying to rig the election. And so he has the stuff saying, hey, in March, this article on the Hill says that. Then you've got a couple months later, you have President Trump. 1 month later, President Trump is on Fox News and he says, yeah, I've seen some really bad stuff there. This needs to be looked into. And we need to get Attorney General Barr. And the guy was saying, yeah, we've been barred from seeing Barr by the corrupt U.S. ambassador who has a list of do not prosecute these Ukrainian corrupt officials. The U.S. ambassador telling the Ukrainian government, do not prosecute these corrupt individuals. They work with us. Do not send anybody like that prosecutor that got fired by Biden for investigating his son. Do not send them to the United States. We don't want that to happen. And so within a couple of days after President Trump said, yeah, you know, that looks really big. And then he, I guess, thought a little bit about it and he fired that ambassador. And that's put in here in this complaint. How dare him fire somebody, right? Like Andrew McCabe. No matter what they've done, Democrats and bureaucrats cannot commit a crime. The only crime is to fire them or to investigate them or to even talk about investigating them. That in itself is an impeachable offense. If you talk about investigating criminal bureaucrats and Democrats, you yourself should be impeached. That's a given. And then we'll finish up here. This is the last two things that he has to say as damning evidence. On 13th of June, the president told ABC's George Stephanopoulos that he would accept damaging information on his political rivals from a foreign government. Now, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Let's have a hypothetical here. Let's just say that your rival was told by a foreign government, you have a change of government, like we've seen in Ukraine. And let's say the new government says, you know, President Trump, my previous, my predecessor here was conspiring with Democrats to rig your election. You wouldn't want to know that? Let's just say, let's put it this way, because national security is the thing that they all worship anymore, right? They don't have any allegiance to the Constitution. They have no allegiance to the Bill of Rights. They have no allegiance to the rule of law, but they have allegiance to the national security. So let's say that you get a call from a foreign country and it says, you know, this Democrat that you're running against actually sold U.S. military secrets to my predecessor. You don't think the president should know that? Let's give another example here that's a pretty close to the truth. Let's say that you have a foreign country and they contact you and they say, your political opponent is running a drug cartel in my country. Whoa. Don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. He's a merc, and don't give me any bad news about my political rival here in America. I hear nothing. I see nothing. I see no evil. I hear no evil. I will speak no evil of my political opponent, no matter what he does. You know, that's not really too far from the truth, is it? You know, we had a Central American government, and they're not the ones who blew this open, I don't think. Although they might have. I don't know who gave this information to Gary Webb. when he exposed that dark alliance. But we did have the Reagan administration, Oliver North, this guy who went to the NRA to clean it up. Yeah, right. I don't know why Oliver North went to the NRA, but he sure was. Sure has created a lot of problems there. He's a real reformer, isn't he? That's the guy who ran the Iran-Contra thing, right, where they sold weapons to our arch enemy, the great Satan, Iran, so they could get money under the table to fund a war that at the time they said, well, we got to have permission from Congress to have a war, and they won't give us permission, so let's do it secretly, and we'll do it by selling weapons to Iran. That was the Iran-Contra thing. But then there was also the fact that Ollie North and these guys were actually created the crack cocaine epidemic in L.A. So they were actually a drug cartel as well. Weapons, secret weapons to Islamic terrorists and running a drug cartel at the same time. Now, if you were a Democrat and somebody came to you and said, hey, you know what? You're running against Reagan. And let me tell you, this guy, he's funding the war on terror, and he's funding the war on drugs, and he's, you know, posturing himself as being against both of these things. Don't you think a Democrat would want to know that kind of stuff? Well, evidently they didn't. Yeah, there's Gary Webb. They killed him for that. But don't you think a Democrat would want to know that? Instead, what'd you see? You saw the LA Times do everything they could to assassinate the character of Gary Webb and to destroy him personally, that Democrat organization. And you didn't see any Democrats using that information. So that's the way that the monolithic deep state operates. And that's why it was so shocking to them that President Trump would tell George Stephanopoulos on ABC. It's like, yeah, if I knew that my political rivals were corrupt and committing crimes in foreign countries, yeah, I would want to know that. No. He doesn't understand the rules of the swamp, does he? Democrats and bureaucrats cannot commit crimes. The only crime is to investigate their crimes. And then on this whistleblower complaint again. And then on the 21st of June, Mr. Giuliani tweeted, the new president of the Ukraine, still silent on investigation of Ukrainian interference in 2016 and alleged Biden bribery of Poroshenko. It's time for leadership and to investigate both if you want to purge how Ukraine was abused by Hillary and the Clinton people. Giuliani and Trump know these people colluded with the Democrat Party. And that's a crime that ought to be not only investigated, but prosecuted. Come on, guys. Where is Barr? We'll be right back.
Analyzing the globalists' next move, it's the David Knight Show.
All right, I've been going over for the last hour and a half this now declassified whistleblower complaint. Just got declassified this morning. We had all the reactions of the people who had seen it. Schumer and Schiff and rhinos like Ben Sasse. Oh, this is really deeply disturbing. Oh, there's so much here. And then President Trump released it to the public. And there's absolutely nothing there. As a matter of fact, it looked really bad for their side. And let me give you one final example. This is in the appendix. The classified appendix, and this is what was declassified. It was top secret, but it was declassified. Now, here is what this whistleblower says. According to multiple White House officials I spoke with, again, I'll remind you, he says at the very beginning of this, he didn't witness any of this stuff. He didn't have, or he or she, I'm just assuming it's a he. I'm just so politically incorrect. it probably is a woman. It probably is a Democrat woman. But anyway, whatever this individual is, we'll call them they. How about that? No gender specifics at all, because it probably is plural. I'm sure there's a lot of people behind this. But yeah, I just had multiple sources tell me this stuff, and I didn't witness any of it. But, you know, I really believe these people. They're very credible. How many times have we heard that before? That's the basis of this whole thing. Anyway, according to multiple White House officials I spoke with, the transcript of the president's call with President Zelensky was placed into a computer system managed directly by the National Security Council Directorate for Intelligence Programs. This is a standalone computer system that's reserved for code word level intelligence information. According to information I received from White House officials, some officials voiced concerns that this would be an abuse of the system, not consistent with the responsibilities of the Directorate for Intelligence Programs. According to White House officials I spoke with, this was, quote, not the first time under this administration that a presidential transcript was placed in a code-level security system solely for the purpose of protecting politically sensitive rather than national security-sensitive information. Oh, come on. Are you telling me then that you're worried about this because instead of putting it on a public server that's unsecured, ClintonEmails.com, Hillary Clinton never had a conversation with any foreign official that she didn't put on her unsecured public server. And maybe President Trump looked at that and said, you know what? If I talk to somebody in a foreign country, let's make sure we don't make the same mistake that Hillary Clinton made. Except I don't think it was a mistake. I think she was putting that stuff there so that she could release it to people and get a payback on the back end. But that's just me. I can't prove that. But it is a crime to do what Hillary Clinton did. And so when President Trump puts his conversations with foreign leaders, which, by the way, you know, we talked about the violations of national security, the state religion. We talked about the violation of national security, the abomination, the desecration of national security by Hillary Clinton. We said there were a lot of things that were classified top secret that you put on a private server in direct violation of standard procedures and conversations that she had with foreign leaders. We talked about that, remember? We said, that stuff is born above top secret. You treat that with the utmost care. And so this whistleblower is complaining because President Trump put that stuff in a secure area. Can you believe that? And so when he complains about that, President Trump says, okay, here it is. Here's the whole thing. Make of it what you will. There's nothing there. And there's nothing in this complaint. Except the glaring hypocrisy of these people who have nothing to say about Hillary Clinton declassifying the stuff against all the rules, committing multiple felonies, as James Comey said, and then immediately says, but it's not in our interest to do anything about it. But they would like to impeach President Trump because he did protect classified information above top secret conversations with foreign leaders. That should be treated with care. How dare him treat that with care? He ought to just put it out there. He ought to have a website. And he could call it, let's see, well, what could he call it? TrumpEmails.com. Oh, yeah, we can do it just like ClintonEmails.com, right? He should have that, and he should violate national security left and right and put every conversation there, have absolutely no cybersecurity on that server so that the Chinese can put a little virus on there that sends them a receipt of everything that she sends and everything that she receives. They got a receipt of all that. And during that period of time, you had the Chinese government round up the entire human intelligence network of the CIA in China and publicly execute or imprison them as an example to everybody else. And nothing to see about that. You know, we hear all this stuff about, well, you know, Julian Assange, I think the stuff that he put out there, that endangered lives. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. But what Hillary Clinton did endanger lives. Hillary Clinton. You know, still at large, the Moriarty of crime. But Julian Assange is being slowly executed by our allies in the British government. This is the real crime. It's just absolutely amazing to me how perverted, how inverted our government is. Democrats cannot commit a crime, but if you even talk about investigating corruption, that is a crime, especially if it's against a bureaucrat. And so, you know, when we look at this, and let's take a look at the meeting between President Trump and the president of the Ukraine. They were scheduled already to have a meeting before all this stuff blew up last week. They're already scheduled to have a meeting at the UN when both President Trump and the Ukrainian president Zelensky were there. So they had a meeting, and here is a clip from the meeting, video clip number 7.
With the president of Ukraine, and he's made me more famous, and I've made him more famous.
Now, when Biden's son walks away with millions of dollars from Ukraine and he knows nothing, and they're paying him millions of dollars, that's corruption. Rudy's looking to also find out where the phony witch hunt started. Where did it start? How come it started? It was all nonsense. It was a hoax. It was a total hoax. I think that one of the great crimes committed is Hillary Clinton deleting 33,000 emails. And then she said, as I remember it, that, oh, well, they had to do with the wedding and yoga. She does a lot of yoga, right? I gave you anti-tank busters that, frankly, President Obama was sending you pillows and sheets. And I gave you anti-tank busters. And I really hope that you and President Putin get together and can solve your problem. That would be a tremendous achievement. And Nancy Pelosi, as far as I'm concerned, unfortunately, she's no longer the Speaker of the House. Thank you very much, everybody.
That's right. We know who the Speaker of the House is. It's AOC, right? Yeah, it's been a coup there. And then this uncomfortable thing happened at that press conference. Uncomfortable, not for President Trump, but for the Democrats. Just like President Trump said, President Zelensky from the Ukraine, who was sitting there, as you heard those clips of President Trump, has backed up President Trump 100%. He says, I don't want to be involved in the Democratic elections of the USA. But he said, nobody pushed me to do anything. And again, in this whistleblower complaint, it was the people in the Ukraine prior to and after the election talking about the corruption and the collusion between the DNC, between Democrats, between the Obama administration to try to rig the election, to manufacture dirt on President Trump, to set out, do not prosecute these individuals, coming from the U.S. ambassador, Obama's U.S. ambassador. Do not prosecute these individuals. Do not allow whistleblowers from the Ukraine to come to America to tell us how the Democrats, like Alexandria Chalupa, worked with the Ukrainians on this. It's absolutely amazing. I've talked about this a great deal. Lee Stranahan has talked about this a great deal. He's been on this from the very beginning. Everything that Lee said, everything I said, has now been vindicated. And that's really the only thing. It's just the crime that these people have been involved in, that being exposed. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at how Biden is being bludgeoned by this boomerang that's coming back. I really still think that he was the original target and why the Democrats put this stuff out and put it out now. You know, they haven't talked about, it's not coming from President Trump, because he would have talked about China as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We've been looking at the whistleblower complaint that was released. Let's take a look at some of the swamp gas that was released yesterday. It has a very peculiar smell to it, especially in light of this complaint that was released this morning that we've been looking at for the last almost 2 hours now. We've been looking at that complaint. And we're going to take a look at some of the reactions to that. We're going to take a look at what has happened to Joe Biden. I still believe that he is the reason that this stuff came out, as much, if not more so, than President Trump. This is one way for them to continue to try to sling mud at President Trump. They know they're not going to get an impeachment. No president has ever been impeached going all the way through the Senate like that. So they know that's not going to happen. But they can bring charges against anybody. Like I said, you know, just got a speeding ticket. You know, it's crimes and misdemeanors. Did he jaywalk? Impeach him. I don't like him. We got to get him out of there. And so that type of thing can happen. Before we get any further in this, though, I just want to remind you about the sale that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because, folks, it's very, very important that you support us. And we got great products, by the way, to support your health. You ought to be getting products like this. And if you're going to get products like this, get them from us so you can help support this operation, support free speech. Why is it that they are so intent on shutting us down? You know, why is it that all of the world's biggest corporations, bigger than most countries, all collude within a 12-hour period to kick us off of social media and continue the persecution for this last year? I heard President Trump say he's going to do something about it. I'll believe it when I see it. Talk is cheap. I hope he does something about it, but you can do something about it. We're going to have to build our own structures to get around this kind of censorship. And that's going to require money. And it's going to require money to keep the programs going. And so we have tried to make this as much of a win-win situation for you as possible. We've got a massive sale right now. Free shipping and double Patriot points and 50% off all the InfoWars Life products. Now, these are the vitamins, supplements, natural aids that are there. They're safe, effective, natural. These are things like Brain Force Plus, Survival Shield, X2 Nascent Iodine, Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid, Bod Ease, our all-natural anti-inflammatory product, Super Blue Toothpaste. No fluoride, but it has the good halogen, iodine, and it has nano silver. Great way to fight bacteria. Bacteria causes tooth decay. And that tooth decay can not only take out your teeth, but it can also cause a lot of other health problems, heart problems and so forth. Super Blue Toothpaste, now 50% off, like all the other products at InfoWars Life, plus free shipping, double Patriot points, Ultimate Bone Broth. Take a look. Everything that is a InfoWars Life product, everything is 50% off, free shipping, double Patriot points, and even the preparedness products are up to 50% off. We've got big discounts on the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system, $50 off the Alexa Pure Pro. That's gravity feed water filtration system. Every time I see that there's been some kind of a contamination in the groundwater, California, other places, I look up what it was, and every time I've looked it up, I found that these filters take out 99.9% of it. You never know what's in your water. And you also never know when you're going to lose access to your water. I mean, you've got to have power in order to get that water. You have a hurricane, you have something else that takes out power. With this gravity feed water filtration system, if you've got access to some water, you can still get it clean. So $50 off the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system, $80 off the Alexa Pure Breeze air filtration system, something else that we use in my home as well. And then we have the InfoWars Life Select food storage products. Those are the storable foods up to 25 years, all made in America, non-GMO, and resealable. The best packaging you're going to find anywhere. We got a lot of those that are 50% off, the 1 year, the 6 month, the 3 month supply, all 50% off. We also have big discounts on the 2 week, the 4 week, the fruit and veggie and snack kits and so forth. Take a look at the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com, massive sale, 50% off, almost everything, free shipping, and double Patriot points. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the reactions. Yesterday, I was absolutely amazed to see what Judge Napolitano was saying, that President Trump had admitted to this. It's like, I don't see where he's ever admitted to this. And by the time Judge Napolitano's comments had hit, they were actually not aging very well because we then had in hand the actual phone transcript. And so Tucker Carlson had last night on his program, he had former U.S. Attorney Joe DiGenova on. And DiGenova said of the Democrats, he said, well, they're scrambling for a theme and a narrative. They've gone everywhere from the Russian hoax to Russian collusion. And now they've come to this, the lowest point ever. And you may note today that they said they wanted to see the transcript. And when it was announced that the transcript is going to be put out tomorrow, they said that really doesn't matter. We want to know about the complaint from the so-called whistleblower, who, by the way, doesn't know anything about the call. He or she is completely anonymous. And it's at this point, it serves no useful purpose other than to have them scream and yell. This is simply about power. Now, I was wrong in what I said. I thought this was last night. This was actually 2 nights ago. And so this is DiGenova saying, well, okay, they say, we got to see this transcript. And that was one of the complaints. President Trump had this phone call, and President Trump has classified that. You know, he actually, when he has phone conversations with foreign leaders, I've been told that he actually puts them in a secure area instead of putting them on his private server where anybody can get to them. That's in the whistleblower complaint. You can't make this stuff up, but the Democrats can. And the people who lie, cheat, and steal and have classes on it can. And so DiGenova is saying this on Tucker Carlson before the transcript of the phone call was released, which was yesterday morning's program. And then now, after President Trump said he's going to release a transcript, they said, well, you know, it's this this complaint. That's really bad stuff. And it's just deeply disturbing. And now this morning, President Trump released that. And you can see that it is not deeply disturbing. And that there is no crime except on the side of the Democrats. And so Joe DiGenova had this to say about Judge Napolitano. Tucker Carlson said, well, I've heard today, in fact, on air, I heard Judge Andrew Napolitano. Remember, this was before this whistleblower complaint, before the transcript was put out. Napolitano said that President Trump had committed crime. I guess he had heard from sources that this was going to be the case, right? Just like this whistleblower said, I didn't witness any of this stuff. I was told this by many different people that I trust around the water cooler or wherever at the Democrat Party meeting or maybe at the Antifa meeting or whatever, wherever these guys hang out. And so Joe DiGenova says, after Tucker Carlson says, well, Judge Napolitano says that the president committed a crime. And DiGenova says, well, I think Judge Napolitano is a fool. And I think that what he said today is foolish. No, it is not a crime. Let me underscore emphatically that nothing that the president said on that call or what we think he said on that call constitutes a crime. Remember, neither Joe DiGenova nor Judge Napolitano had seen the call transcript at that point in time. This stuff is not aging too well for the Never Trumpers, including people like Judge Napolitano and Shepard Smith at Fox News. But again, Tucker Carlson, Joe DiGenova says, even if he had said, you're not going to get the money, it would not be a crime. I was watching Nancy Pelosi today as she struggled to keep her dentures in her mouth, giving this statement, called this an official impeachment inquiry. It's not. The only way that you can have an official impeachment inquiry is by a resolution being passed on the floor of the House, calling for an impeachment inquiry and authorizing an investigation. Oh, the badges? We don't need no stinking badges. I say it's an impeachment inquiry. It is an impeachment. Forget about, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's and following the rules and the Constitution. We don't do that. He said that's not occurred. So what she did today was a head fake. And she did it to placate the nuts on her left. Tulsi Gabbard is not one of the nuts on the left. Here's what she said yesterday. Tulsi Gabbard, I think most people reading through that transcript, now this is, that was before the transcript was released. Here's Tulsi Gabbard after the transcript has been released yesterday, before the whistleblower complaint was released this morning. Gabbard, I think most people reading through that transcript are not going to find that extremely compelling cause to throw out a president that won an election in 2016. There you go. And instead, what I think most people will see is, hey, this is another move by Democrats to get rid of Donald Trump, further deepening the already hyper-partisan divides that we have in this country. And that's really where I'm coming from. Look, Donald Trump, she says, is corrupt. Okay, well, if you think he's corrupt, then show us the evidence. Again, you know, you make that statement, she says. But he is, and she thinks that he's unfit to serve as president. Well, yeah, she disagrees with him on policy. And she disagrees with him on many of the policies that I disagree with him on, like war. But that doesn't make him corrupt. Nevertheless, she said he is the commander-in-chief, and we shouldn't take him out this way because it's just hyper-partisan. And I agree with her.
The David Knight Show.
Yeah, we're actually going to get into some of the Democrat economic policies. Tax the rich till there are no rich no more. And you make everybody poor, right? But we'll do it in the name of feeding the poor. And I've got to say, as I look at this, all these Democrats have got to be shaking their heads at Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and AOC saying, where's my free stuff? I was told I was going to get free stuff. And all you people are doing is making up stories about President Trump. That's really what's going on. Rand Paul has an op-ed piece on Breitbart. And he asks, when will it all end? Ever since Donald Trump was declared the winner in the 2016 presidential election, Democrats have been on a mission to reverse those results, even though it's meant dragging the country through one desperate witch hunt after another. Just like you heard Tulsi Gabbard say, look, I really don't like President Trump. She even called him corrupt. I mean, well, if he's corrupt, then, you know, come up with some charges that are real. If you've got any, you know, bring them out. Don't just call him corrupt. She has to do that for her Democrat base, of course. And it's kind of sad that she would even do that. But she does have the integrity to say, look, he won the election. And the way we get rid of him is not by this hyper-partisanship and trying to impeach him on stuff that where there's nothing there. It's by defeating him in an election. So kudos to her for saying that. But nevertheless, Rand Paul says Democrats have been on a mission to reverse the election, even though it's meant dragging the country through one desperate witch hunt after another. Now we turn the page to the latest chapter, Nancy Pelosi's quote-unquote official impeachment inquiry. He said, I've heard the president both in private and repeatedly in public call for European countries to pay their fair share for NATO for the defense of Ukraine. It should surprise no one that in this phone call, he hit on the need for Europe to play a larger role once again in the transcript that was released yesterday. What the transcript confirms, says Rand Paul, that he did not do on the call was to condition U.S. aid on Ukraine investigating former Vice President Joe Biden and his son, Hunter. If the Democrats want to argue that that threat is implied, well, they may want to check on the fact that Democrats are guilty of the exact same behavior that they want to impeach the president for. And I would say much, much more so. But again, he points out what I said yesterday. It's not just what Biden did explicitly in a quid pro quo, explicitly talking about it as a mafia-like power play. Yeah, I told those guys you want $1 billion. Well, you better do it. I'm leaving here in 6 hours. 6 hours. Well, you're not president. Well, you get the president on the phone, and you talk to him. And boy, son of a gun, if they didn't fire that guy before I left. I'm so powerful. That's what he was bragging about. But the Washington Post op-ed piece, it was written by Mark Tyson, as is referred to here by Rand Paul. I talked about that yesterday briefly as well. He had several Democrat senators sent a letter to the then prosecutor, Lutsenko, saying they are, quote, writing to express great concern about reports that your office has taken steps to impede cooperation with the investigation of the U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Ours is a relationship built on a foundation of respect for the rule of law. And they reiterated their support for Ukraine's capacity building process and said, we'd be very disappointed if you appear to have cast aside these principles in order to avoid the ire of President Trump. If these reports are true, we strongly encourage you to reverse course and to halt any efforts to impede cooperation with this important investigation. And so Mark Tyson at Washington Post says, so it's okay for Democrat senators to encourage Ukraine to investigate Trump, but it's not okay for a president to allegedly encourage Ukraine to investigate Hunter Biden? And then he goes on to sum it up. He says, shouldn't we want the European Union to send their fair share of aid to NATO? Shouldn't we want to get to the bottom of what Ukraine knows, lingering details about the Russian investigation? Shouldn't we want to know why a foreign oligarch suspected of corruption was paying the then-sitting vice president's son $50,000 a month? Shouldn't we want to know why the former vice president on video bragged about getting a prosecutor fired? How is it okay for Biden or for the Democrat senators to threaten aid to Ukraine explicitly, I'll add, but not for the president to allegedly implicitly do it?
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, we have the Justice Department, based on President Trump releasing a transcript of that call. They have cleared President Trump of any wrongdoing on the Ukrainian call. Well, that's not going to satisfy the Democrats, right? Oh, they'll say, oh, that's just, that's President Trump's Attorney General's Justice Department running interference for him. You can read it yourself. You don't need to listen to the talking heads. You don't even need to listen to my analysis of it. Just read it for yourself. I pointed out why there's nothing there. And I spent all the program so far pretty much talking about the now declassified whistleblower complaint. Complaining that President Trump classifies these conversations, unlike Hillary Clinton, where it was okay for her to put them on an unsecured server in violation of every national security rule there is. Oh, you know, he's putting this stuff on a secure area. He must not want us to see it. Well, you complain about it based on hearsay evidence, and so he put it out there. Yeah, blew it up in their face. And President Trump needs to blow up a lot of other stuff in their face. We need to have declassification across the board, beginning with 9/11. Let's take down the foundation of this police surveillance state that is upon us. I would like to see that. This is really backfiring on Joe Biden. Now, Jesse Waters said that the Democrats, Jesse Waters on Fox News, said Democrats want to impeach President Trump for exposing Biden's corruption. I disagree with that. But let's hear what Jesse Waters has to say. Video clip number 9.
Trying to impeach Trump for crimes that they themselves committed. These are nasty, ruthless, destructive, hypocritical people. And it's going to take a lot of energy to fight back their deceit and their lies. But you know what, Dana? I'm up to the challenge. And I'm going to do this for the American people because they are being lied to. This is what the bottom line is. Donald Trump has taken a sledgehammer to the ruling class, and the ruling class is fighting back hard as hell, and they're never going to stop. He beat back Spygate, the Russia hoax. He exposed Hillary, all of her corruption. And now he's beginning to expose the Biden family corruption in Ukraine and in China. And they want to impeach him for exposing Biden's corruption. This is what's going on. The left says they don't believe what Biden did, abusing his power, abusing taxpayer money, and his son enriching himself, is a crime. They think it's a crime for Trump to say, hey, can you look into that? Because Donald Trump is the chief executive of the executive branch of this country. And he is in charge of executing the laws. So if some American citizen is committing potential crimes in the United States or overseas, he has the right to say, hey, guys, can you look into it? But the Democrats are saying, no. Joe Biden and his family, they're above the law. Joe Biden can't be looked into current administration.
Some of that I agree with. It is the president's duty, clearly. As I said, that it's clearly his duty as a chief executive to make sure the laws are being enforced. And if there's corruption, and if a foreign government knows about corruption in the United States, even if it is a political rival of the president, he ought to know about that. That's not anything suspicious. You know, that's one of the things in the whistleblower's complaint that I read this morning. Well, he actually told George Stephanopoulos that if there was a wrongdoing by his political rivals and a foreign country had that information, he'd want to have that information. Can you believe that? See, what Jesse Waters doesn't realize is that Democrats and bureaucrats cannot commit crimes, as I said earlier today. They cannot commit crimes. The only crime is to investigate their crime. It's a corollary to this other foundational belief and principle of the Democrat Party. And that is, only white people can be racist. Only the GOP can commit crimes. Farrakhan, he can't be racist. Democrats, no matter how out there they are, they cannot commit a crime. You are a racist if you call out their racism. You are a criminal if you investigate their crimes. It's just that simple. But I think it's more than that. And I said this when this first came out. I said, this is an attack on Joe Biden. This is not coming from President Trump. And now that has been vindicated, even by the timeline in this complaint. Because what we see from this complaint is that this talk was all initiated by the prosecutor, that mafia boss Biden got fired. He was the one who was talking about this. We had the Hill article in March. And then in April, there were follow-up conversations. President Trump said, yeah, this is big. I heard about that ambassador. And, she had it was alleged by the prosecutor that ambassador was had a do not prosecute list and said, do not prosecute these Ukrainian officials because they're working with the Democrats and us, right? And do not allow any Ukrainian whistleblowers to come to the United States. We're going to shut that down as well. And so President Trump, a few days after that, after he was, had that report brought to his attention, fired her. And that was in April. And then this other guy gets elected and is supposedly a smoking gun to this whistleblower that President Trump, sent Rick Perry to inaugural party of this new Ukrainian president, said, well, I'm not going to go personally until I find out what kind of guy this is. Is he really serious about getting rid of the corruption that we know exists in the Ukraine? So he sent Rick Perry as his surrogate. Oh, well, that's a damning thing there. And then a couple months later, they have this conversation. And again, as we saw in the transcript, it was the Ukrainian president who brought this up. He said, we got to drain the swamp. We got to get rid of these people. We've had some really corrupt officials and we're trying to get rid of them. And then in response to that, President Trump says, yeah, yeah, Biden, you got that really crooked. We had that really crooked U.S. ambassador. We got rid of her. And Biden was saying that he got the prosecutor fired. I think we ought to look into that, too. I mean, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with wanting to know how the DNC and Ukrainian officials were working with the DNC private contractor CrowdStrike, and what do they know about the server and so forth? And if this was coming from President Trump, which would be a stupid thing for him to do, as I said, he was going to hold this fire until he saw the whites of Biden's eyes in the debates. And instead, what the Democrats are trying to do, they know what a bad candidate Biden is. He can't. He's got some real senile issues, besides character issues, besides corruption issues. And they've tried attacking him on the senility, and that backfired on them. Made him look really bad when they criticized him for being old. Julian Castro got booed in the debate when he made a kind of backhanded accusation. Look at this guy. He can't even remember what he said a couple of minutes ago. He's totally senile. And he got booed about that. And so the other way that they can get Biden out is to talk about the corruption aspect of it. And they don't want to get too far into this China stuff because, you know, that's going to start treading on the toes of Clinton, perhaps. But they saw an opportunity to come after Biden and make it look like they're coming after President Trump. And I think it's going to blow back on them. They thought it was going to be a twofer, that they could both get Biden out of the way and they could get Trump tied up in these long, repeated impeachment hearings. And I think it's going to blow back on them. They're going to get rid of Biden. They're already, when you look at what's happened to Biden, for the first time, Warren is beating him out in the number one spot in a national poll. First, it showed up in some of the early primary areas. Now, Warren is ahead nationally. As the Daily Mail points out, Joe Biden's polling advantage has vanished, all uppercase, vanished in Iowa and in New Hampshire, and now also in national polls. As Joe Biden says, this is a tragedy for the country. He's saying that about the Ukraine call. No, it's a tragedy for him personally as to what's happening to him in the polls. President Trump had a duty to do this Biden probe. The Biden probe and the Ukrainian probe was something that was initiated on the Ukrainian side. The only shame, in my opinion, is that it wasn't initiated on the American side. President Trump should have come after these people day one. He should have already had Hillary Clinton in jail by now. And the fact that she is still roaming loose as a predator is my only concern about this stuff. Ron Johnson, a Republican senator, says, well, we're considering opening an investigation in Biden in the Ukraine report. Considering? Come on, considering? What does it take? He was caught on video with a quid pro quo. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at the Tesla cop car that couldn't make it. I got a great crew here. I told these guys, hey, we're coming back from break. I was like, grab Eastbound and Down if you can do it in time. And they got that up. Why are we talking about Smokey and the Bandit? Well, all of you who remember that, those days at CB radios and the car chases from the police and everything, now we've got something that is kind of, you got a police car that is now Eastbound and Down because the battery died on it. I mean, this is back to Smokey and the Bandit. This is Burt Reynolds' fantasies come true. The Fremont Police Tesla had a near-dead battery that forced it off of a pursuit. Just slowed down to 6 miles of battery on the Tesla, so I may lose it in a second here. If somebody else is able, can they maneuver into number one spot? There you go. Why did they have a Tesla police car in the first place is the question. Well, it turns out that Tesla is manufactured there at that plant, that Tesla plant in Fremont. So they thought it'd be a nice gesture to have a police car there in Fremont. Except when you actually need to use it. It goes eastbound and down. When I saw that, I thought, Eric Peters is going to have a great time writing an article about this. I tweeted out this morning. I said, so is the article going to take the tactic, so this is a fine versus charge? How is this going to work out? Or no battery, no assault. The police officer can't catch you and beat you about that, right? Range anxiety meets political correctness. Yeah, we got to have a Tesla police car there. The Tesla, they said, wasn't fully charged at the beginning of the shift. Maybe it's because it takes hours to do that. This unfortunately happens from time to time. Yeah, we've noticed. Even our vehicles that run on gas, if they aren't refueled at the end of the shift, except that it only takes about, you know, it takes less than a minute to fill up your vehicle with gas, but it takes several hours to fill up your electric vehicle. That's the real issue here, right? And when we look at this, it isn't the first time that we have seen this happen. In the last week, we had Tesla, Elon Musk, very upset about the fact that Porsche released their first fully electric vehicle, and they were running it around the Nürburgring. This is a private racetrack, really, I guess you'd say, in Germany, where you can pay your money and you can go around as fast as you want. If you wreck the car, that's your problem. I love the Germans' attitude about the Autobahn and the Nürburgring. You know, if you want to do that, you're welcome to take it there. And they do have reserved spots for manufacturers if they want to really put pedal to the metal and make sure that nobody's going to get in their way. So they want to do a time lap. But you have to reserve that. And so Elon Musk said, well, we're going to have somebody there next week. And they said, well, I don't know really how that's going to happen. He did get there, and he did set a record in traffic, for a production vehicle. He did beat the Porsche Taycan there. But then there were a couple of footnotes to that. Number one, they had heavily modified that Model S. Didn't appear to be the type of car that they would sell. They did suspension things to it and tires. That makes a huge difference. That's really where the rubber meets the road, tires and suspension. So that makes a big difference. Wasn't exactly a standard thing. And then the neighbors, as I reported, the neighbors were very, very upset about the fact that they had a diesel generator that they brought along to charge that Tesla. They had a diesel generator that was running 24/7, and the neighbors were saying, this is incredibly loud. You know how diesel generators are, you know, auxiliary generators in general are pretty loud, and they're pretty dirty when they run. But this is a diesel generator running 24/7 so they could keep recharging this Tesla. And I thought that was the perfect picture. I've always said that all these people who talk about how clean electric cars are, it's only because they don't realize that the power is being generated somewhere else, and you don't see that power being generated somewhere else. And so Elon Musk did us all a great favor by putting the generator right there next to the car. So you could get a real idea of what the entire system is producing in terms of pollution. It is not an emission-free system. They all have a generator that follows them around. It's just typically you don't see it because it's down miles and miles and miles away. There's a lot of wires between you and it, and so you don't see all the emissions, but they're there nevertheless. And in countries like China and India, where they are allowed to have very dirty generation of power, much, much dirtier than anything we have in the United States. That's why, isn't it interesting that Greta didn't file suit against China or India? No, no, no. In those countries, they're allowed to continue to add as many of those dirty power plants, and those power plants are so dirty that if you get just over 30 miles per gallon in India, you are putting out less emissions with a internal combustion engine than you would be with an electric vehicle running off of their dirty grid. And so Elon Musk shows people what a dirty grid looks like there at the Nürburgring. But then it got even worse for him, because just like this police car that was in the middle of hot pursuit, he had his Tesla Model S there die on the Nürburgring. And unfortunately for him, there were people there with cameras, as there usually are on the Nürburgring, and they showed it being put up on a trailer and hauled away while four Taycans continued, or Taycans, I guess is how, I think it's how they pronounce it, four of those Porsche vehicles lapped it multiple times. So, yeah, I've got to find a charging station for the Tesla so I can make it back to the city, says Smokey as he's chasing the bandit. But then we had real Smokey stuff. This also hit new Tesla news. A truck hauling Tesla vehicles spontaneously combusted on I-80 in Nevada. The truck that was hauling Tesla vehicles down I-80 caught on fire Tuesday night, forcing the Nevada Highway Patrol to close the freeway to eastbound traffic. Eastbound and down. Loaded up and burning. Yeah, we got the Teslas right here. We got the stuff right here. The truck's cargo of Tesla vehicles reportedly was fully engulfed in flames. And if you look at that picture there, I mean, you can't even see anything. It's brighter than the burning bush there. Our savior, Elon Musk, and his burning bush that turns into a truck hauling Tesla vehicles. Four separate authorities had to respond to the fire because, you know, you can't put these things out. You know, you get electric fire, even if you understand the special conditions of an electric vehicle fire, and you got to be very careful about it. Certain things like you're pouring water, you do not want to pour water on it. And then after you get the fire out, they have a habit of spontaneously combusting again later and later. And so you had four different authorities respond. One of them, the Eureka Fire Department. Eureka, I found it. Back in June, we had the Model S that spontaneously combusted in the Shanghai parking lot. And it was, they said, not a systemic flaw at the time. That was caught on video in the parking lot. It wasn't turned on. It was just sitting there. It spontaneously combusted. And now one or more spontaneously combusted as they were being transported on a truck. Isn't that interesting? I think we should invest more money in subsidies for Elon Musk, don't you? I mean, it's just that we have to have more of this. As a matter of fact, GM is talking about that. They said we'd lose $7,000 to $9,000 per electric vehicle. And now we're going to increase production. We're going to make it up on volume. There you go. That's good thinking from the GM feminist president. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Defending the American dream. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, I was going to start out the program before we had the whistleblower complaint declassified and available to the public. I was going to start, instead of talking about the swamp gas and all the nonsense coming out of Washington, I was going to talk about what I think is really a much more serious issue. And I'm serious when I say this. I mean, it kind of sounds funny when you talk about this, and we can look at it and laugh at it in a kind of a black humor. But look at PETA demanding that Trader Joe's get rid of the animals in circus cages on their animal crackers stuff. that Mattel is putting out transgender dolls, gender fluid dolls and stuff like this. I mean, this is kind of crazy, but there is something really deep behind this. And when we laugh at the insanity, we should not take this lightly. It is crazy. And it is kind of entertaining in one way. But this is really, I think, really a more serious fundamental issue than even the kind of hyper-partisanship and nonsense that's happening in Washington. I think this is even more serious because it affects each and every one of us. They're coming after our children. And I take that more seriously than when the Democrats attack President Trump as a politician. President Trump can defend himself, and he's done a great job in declassifying this stuff. It just blew this whole narrative up in their faces, I've been talking about for the last couple of hours. But when they come after children, when they come after your children, when they come after your grandchildren, that is something that we should never allow. And we should take that very seriously. And it's not just a cultural war. This is a spiritual war. Calling it a cultural war trivializes it. We use that term because we don't want to pretend that we don't want it to appear that we're calling something evil. Let's understand, there is good and there is evil, and there is an objective standard for determining and distinguishing between the two. And we better start discerning what good and evil is. And we better not be afraid to call it out for what it is. And don't trivialize it by calling it a culture war. Don't backtrack on this. Don't give these people any refuge in this. So let's start by talking about the super silly thing here. The PETA attacking Trader Joe. And PETA, the people, they call themselves People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They push Trader Joe's to change their animal-hating circus grocery package to a more friendly design, reports MRC-TV. And the grocery store chain caved to their demands, of course, because that's the kind of grocery store chain they are. But I imagine, you know, a lot of them will. We've already had Nabisco redesign their Barnum's animal crackers. Now, you know, Barnum, that was the circus, and the animal cracker boxes that we all are familiar with, they had, the thing was done up in the shape of like a train car, and animals being transported as part of the circus, and so they had all the animals drawn in cages and so forth as part of the circus. And so they put pressure, Peter did, on Nabisco, and Nabisco redesigned their Barnum animal crackers package to show the animals walking freely in nature rather than caged in circus boxcars. So they've already had a victory with that. But maybe what everybody missed as they moved on then to Trader Joe's and said, you've got some elephant circus art, and we don't like pictures of elephants performing at a circus, so get rid of that. And so they said, okay, we'll do that, you know. And they said, crowed about it. They said, the new designs at Trader Joe's perfectly reflect that our society no longer tolerates beating elephants into submission for circus shows. Well, our society, I would imagine the reason why Trader Joe's and Nabisco, one of the reasons why they were so willing to do this, was because nobody knows or cares what a circus is anymore. Did you notice that? Did you notice that Barnum and Bailey is not around anymore? And it really wasn't about people being concerned about cruelty to animals. It was about people being afraid of clowns. You know, we've seen clowns portrayed in a very cruel light so many times by Stephen King and by others. Clowns have become a very frightening thing for everybody. And that's really, more than anything, has been the death knell of the circus. And so the circus doesn't exist, and it isn't because people don't like to see animals in cages. It's because they don't like to see clowns anywhere around them anymore. And here's the other thing for PETA, okay? that's good. Here's the other thing for PETA. The bottom line is, PETA, the kids are still eating animals. Did you notice that? These cookies are in the shape of animals. And I'm sure that's going to be the next thing. They're going to demand maybe they put them in the shape of human babies or something, so it's okay to consume them, right? Don't you think? Because we can't be doing that to animals. I mean, you had the report where they went around on college campus and they asked, well, what do you feel about baby eagles? Well, you know, they were more concerned about baby eagles than they were about human babies, of course. Save the baby whale, kill the baby humans. That's been around for a long time, but it still is there. And so I imagine they'll have to redesign this. You can have cookies that would, be shaped like preborn babies or something. I don't know. Would that be acceptable to PETA? Of course it would be. But the bottom line is that these kids are still going to be eating animals. And the bottom line is if you want to, you cannot appease PETA or these people on the left. Give them a box and they will take the cookies. That's going to be coming as well. We look at abortion rates are now falling to their lowest level since we had Roe v. Wade, quote unquote, the law of the land. No, the Supreme Court doesn't create laws. They really don't. But since 1973, they've fallen to the lowest level since 1973. This is a study done by the Guttmacher Institute. And they have their reasons why they think that is the case. And in terms of the fall of the rates, it seems like they peaked about 1980. And they were saying that abortion rates declined 7% from 2014 to 2017. In 2017, though, before we pat ourselves on the back, we still had 862,000 abortions performed. How many is that a day? That's 2,362 a day. Think about that. 2,362 children being killed each day. And PETA is concerned because they've got animal crackers boxes showing animals in cages. And when was it the highest? Well, they said in 1990, that was when it was the highest, they said. In 1990, it was 1.6 million. That would be 4,383 babies killed every day. Far, far higher than the death toll on 9/11 every single day of the year. Far higher. Far higher. About 30% higher. And so they've got some reasons, they believe, at the Guttmacher Institute. They say, well, it might be because they've got better contraception and access to that. Well, maybe that's it. They also said maybe there are at-home abortions that are contributing to the falling rate. Despite 95% of all the procedures taking place in clinics, they said the abortion pill, morning after, accounted for 39% of abortions in 2017, up from 20% in 2014. These abortions are harder to track. If you think that is a viable alternative, you need to see the movie Unplanned. Abby Johnson talks about her morning after abortion pill and how she'd had both an abortion and a morning after. And that was a horrific experience for her as well. They said increased legal restrictions may also be a part of the reason the rate is dropping. I would say that maybe it also, they don't talk about this from the Guttmacher Institute, but perhaps it is 4D ultrasound showing people what they're actually killing. And I think the Democrats have done us a service in this regard by talking about their comfort care murders, the Virginia governor and others. I think people are starting to finally realize that this is actual murder and infanticide. That may have something to do with it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're going to be talking about Barbie dolls. Yes, I am Mrs. Nesbitt, and it's tea time. Now, this is a serious discussion here. Something very important. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you about the big sale that we have right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We have all of our InfoWars Live products 50% off and up to 50% off on many of our preparedness products, things like water filters, air filters, storable food, and so forth. We have up to 50% off that. We've even got things like storable seed kits and webcam covers and privacy pouches and all kinds of things. And when you look at the storable food, we've got storable food, not just the regular menu stuff, but we also got fruit, veggie, snack kits. You know, if you got a hurricane coming and you can't get any food and you got a craving for a pizza or some snacks like that, well, you can actually store that up in advance as well as the other food. So this stuff is storable for up to 25 years, non-GMO, made in America, great stuff. And right now you can get it 50% off for most of the different packages, the InfoWars Life Select, 40% off of some of the others, the InfoWars Life storable food, 25 years. And then all the products that we have that are natural supplements, things like Brain Force Plus, Survival Shield, X2, Nascent Iodine, Knockout, or Sleep Aid, Natural Sleep Aid, Bodies are all natural anti-inflammatory. All those, 50% off, free shipping, double Patriot points, everything at the InfoWars store. And we've got a new product here. I was just looking at this here at the desk, Vaso Beet. And it is a liquid supplement. I like to take liquid supplements because I don't have to swallow a lot of pills. I really do like to get liquid supplements, and I've been looking at beet stuff for a while now, and so I was really glad to see that we had this. We call it Vaso Beet because beets are a vasodilator. In other words, they increase your blood flow. They dilate your blood vessels, which I looked at this, and I thought, well, that'd be good for me, particularly because I have high blood pressure and other things, and the doctor, after my heart attack, gave me nitroglycerin. It is a vasodilator, for sure. So I was like, why don't I try something that would be safe, effective, and natural? And it's 100% beet juice. I'm looking at it here. That's the only ingredient. Red beet. It's pure red beet juice. So That is something that I'm going to definitely be using. And you can get that right now. Again, it's part of our InfoWars Life products. So it is also 50% off, free shipping, and double Patriot points. Take a look at that new product, VasoBeat. I certainly am. All right, let's talk a little bit about, again, we started talking about animal crackers. And it may just be animal crackers, and it may just be Barbie dolls. But, folks, this is where it is headed. And notice that they're focusing on the kids. We've talked about this for the last week. Greta Thunberg, that's what you need to take away from this, the abuse of children and the fact that they're focusing on them. So, you know, don't let those kids see animals in cages. And, you know, it's not going to be too long before you don't want them eating those animals either. But now Mattel has decided that they are going to change how the kids play and what they play with. And so they've introduced a gender-neutral line of Barbie dolls. Gender-neutral. Mattel and their gender-neutral dolls, they said they're going to target children who do not want their toys to be dictated by gender norms. That's what I always heard from my kids. Didn't you hear that from your kids? You know, Daddy, I just don't want anything that's dictated by gender norms. I didn't hear that from my boys. I didn't hear that from my girl. I even talked to my wife. I said, she never played with baby dolls, did she? Or you know, Barbie dolls? I said, no. You know, our daughter was already experienced. She had real babies that she had to take care of in the orphanage before we adopted her. And she was thoroughly grounded in the real world. I mean, when she was 5 years old, she was cooking in the kitchen with real stuff, not the little easy bake ovens. No, she was using the real thing. And I've not seen anybody that cooks like my daughter does. I mean, she is absolutely amazing because she's been immersed in the real world. Maybe, you know, we ought to get the kids out of the fantasy world. And maybe we ought to get them away from Hollywood and get them away from Mattel and these other people who have an agenda and they're trying to manipulate these kids just like they're being manipulated in schools as well. There's not just the schools. You got to get your kids out of the schools, but you got to get them away from Hollywood and get them away from Mattel. I remember when my sons were growing up, we'd go to Toys R Us, and it's like, all right, got boys, let's go get some guns, you know, to let them play with, and cowboys and Indians, or cowboys and, you know, sheriff and bank robber or whatever. And they didn't have any of that stuff. We went in there, and Toys R Us, even when my sons were little, back in the 90s, they didn't have any of the kinds of guns that I played with, you know, Red Ryder and Black Bart and all that kind of stuff. No, they didn't have any of that. Christmas Story, that's long gone, that culture. And so all they had was a toy kit that was police riot stuff. So you could get all kinds of, you know, police and riot gear and, you know, body armor and billy clubs to beat people with. And it's like, no. They're not going to play that. So we went to all these historical places and got them, you know, flintlock rifles or Western rifles and things like that that were historically correct, not politically correct. But Mattel is out there talking about how they've got 29 dolls. They call it the Creatable World. Toys, they say, are a reflection of culture. Or maybe they are really kind of pushing a culture on the kids, don't you think? So that's always the issue, isn't it? You know, we're told by Hollywood, and just think about this Joker movie that's out there, right? Whenever you criticize Hollywood for their violence or the sex or anything else that you criticize about Hollywood, they'll always say, we're just reflecting the culture. We don't dictate the culture. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. I mean, think about how Hollywood, and in a positive way, they were there for the civil rights movement, I think. But then they've had many other things that they've been pushing. LGBT agenda, most recently. Feminism, radical feminism. I just saw the trailer for the new Terminator movie. They have replaced all the men with women. They do have Arnold Schwarzenegger coming back, but I don't know if he counts as a man anymore. He's been thoroughly emasculated with political correctness. But he's back, And they have a the bad Terminator. You can see that. I'm not, no spoiler alerts here. I haven't seen it. I don't plan on seeing it, but I can tell what it's about just by looking at the trailer that they released. The bad Terminator that is killing everybody is a male. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger is there, an aged Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know if he's a Terminator robot or if he is the scientist that created the young Arnold Terminator robots or something. That's what I suspect, that he made them and patterned them after himself or something because he's older. But anyway, there's Schwarzenegger and there's the killer Terminator who is a male. And then everybody else in it is female. You know, they brought back Linda Hamilton. She sounds like Marge Simpson's sister. She sounds like for the last 40 years, she's been sitting in the corner smoking cigarettes. And then they've got a young girl that has to be protected, and the protector is a female Terminator, you know, kind of like Captain Marvel, that type of thing. This is a total feminization of our culture when it comes to action heroes. But when it comes to dolls, now you got Mattel selling gender-neutral dolls and saying that they are reflecting the culture. You know, people criticized the sadistic violence of the Joker film. You had Joaquin Phoenix come out and say, we're not responsible. The filmmakers have no responsibility to teach morality. No, they're teaching morality all the time. They're always teaching morality. Give me a break. They have very, very clear values that they're pushing on people, and they do it all the time. But whenever you criticize them, oh, that's not our responsibility. toys are a reflection of culture, says Mattel, and as the world continues to celebrate the positive impact of inclusivity, we felt it was time to create a doll line that was free of labels. Through research, we heard that kids don't want their toys dictated by gender norms. They heard that. They heard that. They did their focus studies, I guess at the Kinsey Sex Institute. They probably had the little kids come in there, and the kids told them, they said, that they didn't want toys that were dictated by gender norms. Do you believe that? I don't believe that. Not for a second do I believe that. Absolutely crazy. A doll line designed to keep labels out and invite everyone in. Oh, they're so inclusive, aren't they? Do you think they would be inclusive of Christians and traditional values and traditional roles? No, no, no. No, they will not. You'll have to find a doll elsewhere for that. And you'll have to find your toy guns elsewhere as well. Now, it is a full-on war. It's not the thing. If Mattel wanted to make a doll without defined private parts, totally fine. I don't know. I don't think. I asked my wife. I said, God, I never played them. Barbie dolls don't have genitalia. So it's a perfect thing for the transgender movement right there. That's it for today.